Welcome to the Ambitious Tribe podcast with your chief encourager, Cassie Pajarillo. It's time to drive ambition and build a better business with a plan that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Now for your host, Cassie Pajarillo.
The BS concept.
Right. So I would love to dive in and discuss more about this advocacy of yours, how you got started, and of course, everything else about cycles. I remember when we got in touch, I was looking for someone who understand the cycle of a woman because we have a different dynamics altogether. So tell us your story, Kate. I mean, a couple of milestones ago, who was Kate and why did you leave corporate America to start your own business?
Well, I only lasted about 4 months in corporate America. So I got my first job out of journalism school at working as a corporate copywriter and just absolutely hated it and felt like I would die in that cube. And I just could not imagine myself there really any longer than I possibly could handle. So I quit my job after 4 months in the middle of the recession. Everybody thought I was totally crazy. And I was going to start a freelance journalism business. And nobody really knew what that meant. And, you know, they're like, you're leaving a stable job. You're crazy. And I just knew that I was not made for corporate America. So I left that in 2010 and I started my freelance business. And that was very quickly a success. And I had a great job of eating and traveling the world and writing about it for national magazines and newspapers back in the States. And I did that for about 8 years. And it was amazing. I really loved it. But it was amazing for my 20s when I was traveling all the time and had that kind of energy and no responsibility. Yep. Then I started feeling like, all right, I'm getting married, I'm buying a house, I want to settle down a little bit. I started having some health issues. And so long story short, I decided to start a blog and see if I could turn that into my business instead of travel writing. So I started Root and Revel at the end of 2015. And kind of similarly, that I turned that into a six-figure business in about maybe 2 years. And so then people started asking me how I was doing that. And then I created a course called the Six Figure Blog Academy to teach people how to make money blogging. And yeah, kind of here we are today, fast forward. And I still have Root and Revel. It's actually for sale right now. So I have created an asset out of it, and I'm selling it and focusing more of my time on my personal brand, where I have some digital courses and my podcast and more in the entrepreneurship space.
You know, in this time and age where the internet is booming and a lot of things are, you know, happening with strategies, tactics, and so on, people thought that blogging is actually dead. But in truth, oh my goodness, we all need SEO. We all need these things. But why are you selling your asset? I mean, isn't it something that could work hand in hand with the course that you're currently launching? I mean, don't you think that it's still complementary somehow?
Oh, totally. It's for sure complimentary. I just don't want to do it anymore the truth of it. It is running two totally separate businesses right now, even though they do complement each other. And, you know, when it was first presented to me of you could sell it, and I was like, what do you mean sell it? I didn't even know that was a thing. And of course, there's now this whole world of buying and selling websites, and there's brokerages and this whole industry. And you know, so I could keep it, and which is risky in some ways because I have to put work into it in order to maintain the level of income that we earn and you know, keep our readership up and keep our people happy. And it's a lot of work. Or I could sell it for, you know, $500,000 or more. And that just felt like the right thing to do at this moment. And this season of my life, I have two babies now, and I really don't have time to run two businesses. And I am all about doing focused work and not being distracted and just kind of following what my heart's telling me to do.
I love that. I love that. But let's go back to that entire thing of selling your website. And this is something that is, I mean, I've heard some people who've done it, but I haven't really heard people really pursuing that. Like, what are the main factors? Let's just say a lot of people have started blogging. I've started blogging since 90s, and let's just forget what age that was. But it wasn't, you know, a concept yet. All you got to do, if you just don't want to do it anymore, just don't do it anymore, right? And then that's it. I mean, too bad, you know, your efforts are gone. But in this case, again, with the internet evolving and stuff, maybe you can share some tips on what are the things that people would want to consider when it comes to selling your website, and what are the brokerages? I mean, what are they looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of different things that they're looking for. The main things that I've heard from potential buyers and the brokerage that I went with that made my site attractive is that we have both a diversity of revenue streams and of traffic sources. So I really worked to make sure that I wasn't putting all of my eggs in one basket and just relying on either one way of making money or one way of getting leads and traffic. And that really has paid off, and that's proven to be, you know, a valuable, it's what's part of what's made Root and Rebel a valuable asset. You know, we also have a steady income stream. So like to walk away from $15,000 a month was like, well, I'm not just going to just stop doing it and just walk away from that. I've built something that's really valuable and somebody else could take over. I think Root and Rebel is a little bit tricky because it is such a large site and we do make quite a bit of money on the site. And so, you know, like it's the list price is quite high. It's something that most individuals probably don't have sitting, you know, $500,000 sitting around that they could invest. But so we're looking more with other investors and corporations that sort of have a portfolio of sites that they manage. But there's a lot of sites that sell, you know, for six figures or, you know, less, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 or something mm-hmm. that are much smaller. Mm-hmm. And I think those sites are much easier to sell, both because you have a larger market of people who could afford to buy them, but also because there's so much more room for growth. Yeah. Root and Rebel is very established. And so I know that there are some buyers that are looking for a site where they could easily come in and go, oh, well, you've missed out on all these opportunities. We can just quickly add them in and start turning a profit. Whereas with Root and Rebel, it's established, we're already turning a profit, but there's maybe not as much room for, oh, you totally missed out on this easy thing. We could just add ads to your site and take off. So I think it's kind of this, it's been a little bit of a tough place to be in some ways, because it's like you're almost too good to sell.
Yeah. And it's your baby. I mean, you've built it for years, right? But again, it's about following, of course, where your heart is. And that's actually great too, right? And I know that, you know, for a fact too, that it's amazing when your blogs are really, it is a form of real estate nowadays, right? Like it's something that is, I mean, you can't touch it like personally, but it's still an asset that everyone can actually go to. It's a resource. It has to build its own brand and stuff. But maybe I'm not going to talk much more about that. But I know that you're creating also this new course, this new program, and something that I would love to also for you also to share. But I'm also interested when you said also when we had this little chit chat too, that you truly believe in working according to your cycles. Like, what is the productivity like? I mean, come on, you quit corporate America. You've traveled the world. You've come back and said, okay, I'm getting married. I'm building, you know, my family and stuff like that. I mean, what were the changes that happened? Like, from who was the Kate before in terms of your schedule, how you work things out, to now, right, having multiple six figures? What was the shift? What was the now and then? How does it look like?
Well, I think the bigger shift that when I think back, I'm like, there's been two big shifts. And one was when I first left corporate America. And that was part of why I didn't want to do it, because I'm very efficient, and I can't just sit at a desk for 8 hours a day, especially if I don't have things to do. So it was like, I could get my work done in a couple hours. And then I just felt like I was twiddling my thumbs and just wasting my life. And I didn't want to do that. So I think a big part of why I left, 11 years ago now, was because I wanted to have a life. I didn't want to just waste away in a cubicle. And so when I created my freelance business, I really incorporated lots of time for, movement. And I mean, I was a food writer, so there was plenty of delicious things to eat all the time and restaurants to go to and, cultures to experience. So that was really enriching. And, I just really made time for friends and family and enjoying like being my own boss. I just always reminded myself, like, why am I my own boss if I'm just going to spend my entire life working? That's not why I created, my own business. But then when I started my blog in that first year, I felt like I was really hustling because I really wanted to make it into a business. I wanted to be able to stop freelancing and to have my blog be my full-time job. And it was, blogging is a long game and slow burn. So it takes some time to build up. And I was really impatient and just, I'm very driven. And so I hustled a lot to the detriment of my health and my life. And I started having really bad anxiety and panic attacks and just was not working for me. At the same time, I was diagnosed with PCOS, and which is a hormonal disorder for anybody who doesn't know. And around this time, I was introduced to cyclical living. I actually read this book by Alyssa Vitti called Woman Code. And it was really explaining the female body in a way that, at the time I was, I think, 27. And I was like, I had no idea. I didn't even know what the follicular phase of my cycle meant. It was like, I was so dense about my own body. At least in the States, it's not part of our education. You get a period, here's a tampon, you're good to go. That's all you need to know. PMS, and that's it. So it was really eye-opening. And in this book, she talked a lot about cycle syncing, which was more so about like that during certain phases of your cycles, obviously your hormone levels are rising and falling and different things are happening in your body that affects your mood and your energy. And so she recommended like eating certain things during different phases and doing different kinds of exercise during different phases. And it was a little bit more, of that kind of wellness focused of how to use your cycle for that. And so I started doing that as a way to manage my PCOS, and I really enjoyed the kind of embodiment practice of it all, of just really getting in tune with what was happening in my body, just paying attention, even if I didn't change anything. Sometimes just that awareness in itself was really, really powerful. And so I got more into cycles and this idea of cycle syncing, and I came across some other books. There's one called Do Less by Kate Northrup, and that's more about how to use your cycles for your business. And so that was really interesting to look at, oh, there are certain things during different phases, like I should launch during a different phase than I would, analyze data, or that I would like schedule time for analysis and reflection and planning. And I would do that maybe during my menstrual cycle or menstrual phase of my cycle, rather than maybe I would launch or record a podcast during the ovulation phase of my cycle when I'm feeling more energetic and alive and all of those things. So there's a lot of women doing this work right now. And I could name a few: Lisa Hendrickson Jack, Vianney Lee, Nicole Jardim. There's a lot of amazing people that are talking about cycle syncing, Claire Baker. And I just really went down the rabbit hole of learning more about this. And what was really cool, is that the female menstrual cycle has four phases, and each of those phases mirrors the four phases of the moon, which also kind of mirrors the four phases of Mother Nature, of spring, winter, summer, fall. And that was a weird order to say that in.
Sorry, we all understand.
You know
that.
The phase. Yeah. So it was really cool to see how these things all lined up, and that you know, it was just really fascinating to me. And now I really do try to do things in accordance with either what's happening with the moon or what's happening with my body. Sometimes both. I've been pregnant or nursing for the last three and a half years or so. So sometimes it was like all I had was the moon to go off of. It sounds out there and pretty woo-woo if you've never heard of things like this before. And I was a total skeptic, but I am a total convert now.
Yeah, honestly, this is something that I have been really wanting to talk about, because at least in the Philippines, I barely know anyone. I mean, if you talk about the phases of the moon, I mean, if depending on what industry or what cloud you are in, like, let's just say if you're with surfers, people would say, oh, it's full moon, it's time for us to surf. Like, so you got to be more active because the waves are better. I mean, that's the thing. But in terms of productivity, right? I think like there's a study here in the Philippines that I just recently read too, that 90% of women actually spend their income majority for back to their family and always hustling comparison to men. And it was just really, really mind-boggling too, in fact, that there are also a lot of women who is taking in the C-suite level, and yet they're not given the flexibility. And yet this is something that they've been looking for. And in terms of productivity, right, like we also have emotions. And they were saying that, you know, when women are on top, right, we are like multitaskers, we're so good in things that we do. But the thing is, we still have, you know, our hormones and our emotions, which are something that men don't understand, I think. I mean, I think like men are from Mars, women are from Venus. That's what they say, like coming from that book. Now, I wanted to talk to you about this, because especially nowadays, that women in general are becoming their own bosses, and what they know about freelancing. I mean, example, when you said about, I don't want to do freelancing anymore, I want to be a boss, right? There's a difference between the freelancer and the boss somehow. I mean, it's still the same thing, but the concept kind of like it's different, right? So I would want to ask you that, what are the things to consider when it comes to transitioning from being a freelancer to a boss? Plus, of course, following the moon cycles. I mean, yes, it sounds woo-woo. I mean, I'm sure there are listeners right now in the Philippines, especially, who are like, what? Why am I going to look at a full moon? I mean, what's the connection? Like, girls, there's so much connection. We can talk about that. So can you maybe feed us more information in terms of what are the things, like with Kate, with you, with a six-figure entrepreneur, right? What is the first phase of the moon like for you? And what is the productivity like for you? I mean, it's not just about boundaries, clearly, but it's really being attuned of your body. So maybe walk us through that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so for example, right now it's the waning moon. We had the full moon last week, and then we're heading into the new moon next week. So we're in this phase right now where the moon is disseminating. And what that usually means is that the energy in the universe is kind of like slowing down and lowering, very similar to being in the luteal phase of your menstrual cycle, which would be right before you get your period. Mm-hmm. And so that's when your hormones are starting to drop. They're like leading up to menstruation, all of your hormones drop. This is when PMS is more common. And again, this is the week leading up to your period. So you'll notice when you start paying attention, even if you don't change anything, you just notice and take note and, you know, just become aware, be an observer. Your energy is starting to fade. So maybe like nesting and self-care feels more important than high intensity workouts and, intense movement and stuff like that. So you may be feeling more tired and emotional than usual. So what I do is I look at this energy and I say, now, so how does this help me show up better in my business? And I'll look at, say, well, if this is how I'm feeling right now, is actually a good time to kind of bring projects to completion. Mm-hmm. I think about it like, again, the seasons of Mother Nature. So this phase is like fall and or autumn. And this is when, you know, you're kind of winding down, you're wrapping things up, you're bringing things to completion. It's a good time to focus more on the details. If you have like a lot of administration stuff or organization things, you know, managing finances or it's just a good time to kind of turn inward and focus on those solo tasks that require a little bit more focus rather than being super visible and collaborating and networking and putting yourself out there, which is great to do during full moon, ovulation, kind of like summer. So I just follow my energy really. And when you do that, you start noticing that you're able to get a lot more done in less time, with less stress, with less pushing. There's a lot more ease and flow that comes when you're working with your energy. And I think, you know, there's society is built, you know, we've been under the patriarchy since the beginning of time. And so we're built for a man's circadian rhythm and hormonal cycle, which is 24 hours. So every day is more or less the same for men. They wake up, they have the same kind of hormone fluctuations throughout the day, they go to bed, and then the next day, the same thing happens. But women are obviously operating more on this 28-day give or take cycle, where our energy is changing throughout. And so that was part of your question. I know one of your other questions was the difference between being freelance and being a boss or a CEO. And I do think that, yeah, there has been a huge difference. And it's interesting, you know, I've been self-employed since 2010, but I've been a CEO since 2017. And I feel like that has been a very, very different experience. I mean, one thing is that I'm not a solopreneur anymore. It's not just me. When I was freelance, it was just me. I mean, I could have probably had like a VA or somebody to help me with some of the more admin-y type tasks, but I didn't. And I didn't really need it. There wasn't as much to keep track of and manage. Now I have employees and I have contractors that I work with, and there's a lot more money coming in and coming out and, you know, things to manage. And so I think there's a lot more visioning that has to happen. There's a lot more like really focusing on those revenue generating tasks and moving your business forward and figuring out what even is your business. What do you want it to be? What business model do you want to have? Freelance was just like, I write, they give me an assignment. I write it. I turn it in. We're good to go. I'm not saying it was easy, but it was much simpler.
Are you ready to turn your network into paid high-ticket clients with a plan? Well, I'm interrupting my own episode to invite you to my free high-ticket VIP training over my website, www.cassiebajarillo.com. This training has helped coaches, consultants, private practitioners, and content creators build a better profitable business without exhaust stepping into their role as CEO. This training is perfect to those who'd want to embrace digital transformation for their coaching or consulting practice and wants to have that roadmap towards achieving six-figure outcomes for your seven-figure business. By the end of the training, you are guaranteed to learn the Power Profile Framework and the entrepreneurial roadmap and strategies that you can implement right away as you enable your dreams right here, right now. The VIP training is absolutely for free, and it will break down the framework on how you can turn your network into paid high-ticket clients with a plan. Claim your spot and register today at www.cassiebajarillo.com. Link is in the description box below. I'm so excited to meet you real soon. Now, let's get back into today's episode. And coming from that sentence, when you said it was from simple to now really investing back to your people, to your business, when you hit your first six figure, it's like, where did you spend your money? I mean, how did you spend your money? I mean, there are people who would like, woohoo, I have six figures. Now let's go party. Let's go to Europe or go beach party, whatever, right? But yeah, right? But as a CEO, it just switches differently. And like, maybe you can tell us more about that. I mean, inspire people. How do you spend your money anyway, at least for you?
Yeah, for me, my business was generating six figures, but I personally, what I was taking home in my paycheck was much different than what your business is generating, which again is one of the big differences between being freelance and a CEO. So mm-hmm. now there's a company and like I'm an employee of my company. And yeah. so my paycheck was quite small compared to my revenue. And, you know, I mean, maybe somewhere between 30 and 50%, but let's just say you're making $100,000. Well, only taking home $40,000 feels a lot different. And so I was putting almost everything I could afford to back into the business to help it grow. And so I had contractors that I was working with, you know, whether it was, I really was focused on search and getting organic traffic. So mm-hmm. I focused on hiring SEO help and Pinterest help and people that could really help me get found yeah. To grow the business. So I outsourced some of that. You know, I had a VA who started at like 5 or 10 hours a week and then ended up becoming a full-time employee and then hired more people. So what I realized quickly was like, I can't do it all myself. Yes. And I'll go so much further faster yeah. when I get help and support. So that's where I put the money in, was getting that support.
Right. And there are people who are, you know, are adamant or not comfortable on hiring their first hires and so on and so forth. So if you were going to be asked by someone, let's just say, especially, let's just say your students is just about to, you know, to embark this journey and have their first six figures and stuff, who would be the first help that they should hire anyway? So that they'll be able to move a little bit more faster.
Yeah, I mean, I really think just a VA in general is a great place to start because they can help you with so many different things and you can figure out, you know, it's different for everybody. I have like, this is something we teach in the Six Figure Blog Academy actually, is how to outsource and figure out where you should go, because we all have different skill sets and strengths and talents and so, and interests. And so while I've been a writer my whole life, like writing content, that's what I wanted to keep focusing on. And I could do that, but I didn't want to manage my books. I didn't want to do social media. I didn't want yeah. to, you know, right. learn Pinterest. It was just like, okay, what am I good at? What do I enjoy doing? What can only I do? And then start outsourcing the rest. And you can start small. I think a lot of times people freak out because they're like, oh my God, yeah. I'm barely even making any money. I can't hire somebody. And it's like just 5 hours a week and you'll be amazed at how much space that opens up for you. And when you're not stuck in the weeds and you can actually move the business forward, you will go so much further faster.
Yes, right. And I totally agree with that. Thank you for sharing that, Kate. I mean, a lot of people, again, I mean, including, I mean, some of the people that I know, they were just so scared, like, okay, how do I do this? It's hourly or project-based, like, how, what is the difference, and so on and so forth. I guess it's really more on knowing, really, I mean, just to echo what you said, like, what are you good at, and then stick with that, and then things that maybe it's not your zone of genius, and you don't have time to tinker it anymore, go ahead and do your hiring. Now, Kate, about you have been doing this, you've been, like, blogging, you have, you know, had your six figures numerous multiple times. What are the challenges now that the pandemic is here, right? It's a blessing and a curse, and it's, you know, it's both good news and bad news altogether. But what are the challenges that changed, right? When you finally, I mean, I'm sure you're hitting something right now that you have a certain goal right now, right? And what are the challenges? Because there are people too would say, oh, you know, if I have six or seven figures, my problems are going to be gone. Girls, that's not true, but maybe tell us more about that. So what do you think?
Yeah, you just have different problems at different stages. You're never going to be problem free. So, right now my challenges are our team. It's hiring, firing, managing people. You know, I can't be the visionary of the business and manage a team of, you know, 5 to 10 people. And so I have to hire somebody to manage those people, but then I still have to manage them and make sure they're doing their job. And, you know, so it's team has definitely been my biggest challenge going from multiple 6 to 7 figures. And I think that is, it's hard to find people who do what they say they're going to do. Mm. And that has been my biggest challenge. Is I joke sometimes, to, I'm in some masterminds with other peers and I'm like, I'm not even looking for somebody to blow my mind. I just want them to do what they say they're going to do.
Right.
So we've, you know, we cycle through people because we're trying new things. And I would say, you know, half the time we find somebody great and it works and they're a long-term, you know, support for us. And then the other half the time, it's like beating your head against a wall. And it just feels like this shouldn't be this hard. And sometimes I get down because I'm like, this is so hard. Why? What's wrong with me? But then every time I talk to other entrepreneurs who are at this level, they say the same thing. Like it just, it is that hard. And I don't know why. But that is something that certainly as a freelancer, I never had to deal with. And even in the early days, you know, it was a lot more straightforward. So yeah, things just get a little bit more complicated. I think the more, my experience at least has been the more money you make, the more you want to grow, you know, just the more moving parts there are.
Crazy. I know. Crazy, right? That's why I say hire slow, fire fast, because, you know, even if we are compassionate human beings, we are women, oftentimes we really have to create and make the empowered decision that it's not about you. It's just really, it's not just working out for the business. It's just not attuned. And thank you for sharing that. It's really important for people to know that too. There's no end in the tunnel, honestly, guys. There's none. So if you were going to start,
you have to enjoy the journey, though. That's what I've figured out. Because I think you think like, oh, once I reach this goal or this milestone or this revenue, whatever, like you said, we think all our problems will be solved or then I'll be happy. And it's just not, it's not true. You'll just set your sight on the next goal and the next thing. And so I think being intentional about growth and why you really want growth and more is important, but also just enjoying the process and realizing like there is no end point. There's no end. It's just like, so just enjoy the process.
Right. And I keep on saying this, that entrepreneurship is the best personality development program you're ever going to get into. And it's just crazy on how it actually applies as well for our health, mental health, how we manage the house, how we manage our husbands, perhaps. There's just so many things that your mental health and your mindset will really play a huge part. And you're right, you got to enjoy the journey. And if you don't enjoy the journey, what's the point, right? I mean, you're just going to be in loads of problems. And what was that all about? Okay, so Kate, if you were going to start all over again, you've got all these experiences from solopreneur, leaving corporate America, all these stories that you just shared a while ago, especially now that you are gearing towards a new certain goal. If you were to start all over again, granted that you've experienced, again, this all these things in your journey, what are the actionable steps you'd share for women to go for as they work on themselves? Maybe top three, top five? If they want to build a business and scale.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the first things is to focus on content marketing. And so, you know, I came from this blogging background, and when I started the Kate Kordsmeyer brand, I had Root and Revel, and that was a very traditional blog, but I knew that I wanted to bring that content marketing style to this new business because it's the best way to be findable and to get an organic, you know, a steady stream of organic leads and traffic coming in all the time is when you have free content out there that's optimized for SEO. So that's one of the main things I would recommend. No matter what your business is, you don't have to be an influencer or a blogger per se, but I think have a podcast or a blog or a YouTube channel or something that's searchable and getting that organic traffic, building that know, like, and trust factor. The second thing I would say is to really simplify as much as possible. For example, one of the ways that I've been able to really work from this place of rest, instead of feeling like I'm constantly hustling and launching and living paycheck to paycheck and all of this, you know, craziness, is with an evergreen funnel. And so all of my products, my courses and programs are all sold with evergreen funnels. And it's work to set it up front, of course, but then it's just running in the background. And so like yesterday we made three $1,500 sales and I wasn't doing anything for it. And it's just that feeling never gets old of like, oh, I was with my kids or I was at the beach or I was sleeping or whatever. It's like, it really is that making money while you sleep. It's not too good to be true. And it really opens up so much white space for you that you can figure out what's next for the business and really work on those more revenue generating things. So I love evergreen funnels. And then I think just like really focusing, listening to your heart, you know, following what it's telling you and doing things that feel, chasing what feels good, I think is going to get you further than chasing what somebody else is doing or what you think you should do, what feels good to you. And I think a way to figure that out is to get embodied and figure, you know, get aware and in tune with what's happening in your own body and listening that way. So using that kind of cyclical living that we talked about.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kate, for your time and sharing your story. I would love to ask you more questions, but again, we have a little time limit because our podcast is going to go crazy if we're sticking here like longer, but we appreciate all the vulnerability, the sharing that you said. And I hope that is also open up, you know, the women who is listening to this, or even if the men, like, I hope that you guys pick up something here on terms of understanding your women or understanding your body and your energy. And of course, having to really embody what is it that you love doing, right? So thanks again, Kate. Is there anything else you would like to share for our listeners, and what else do you have in store for them?
Yeah, I would just say if you want to learn more, I would love to tell you about my incubator program. So you can come check that out at katecordsmeyer.com/apply. And you can also listen to my podcast, Success with Soul. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can probably find mine there too. So I would love to have you check it out.
You guys better check that out. I've checked it out myself. I'm going to have that on the description box. So you guys should go in there if you want to understand more about your body and of course your productivity. Okay. So of course, as we reach our six-figure outcomes for our seven-figure business, we all have to have this room to talk about beginnings, transitions, challenges, milestones, and everything else in between. As a firm believer that when you surround yourself with people who you want to become and be, you magnetize the same energy and get to fuel yourself with an abundance of possibilities. And I'm really, really grateful that I have Kate here with me today. We've been together inside the cohort, just a little short time, but I've been learning a lot from everybody. And it's really important that you surround yourself with people with the same energetic space. I hope you enjoyed our episode today with Kate and learned actionable steps as well and insights when it comes to building and scaling your business as you design the life that you want. This is your host, Cassie. Let's have more conversations like this. Drive your ambition, serve love, and thank you guys. I'll see you soon.
You just finished listening to another episode of the Ambitious Tribe podcast by Cassie Pajarillo. If you liked today's episode, make sure to leave Cassie a review on iTunes and share this podcast with your friends on social media. It's also available on Spotify and Google Podcast. Don't forget to tag Cassie Pajarillo on Instagram or message her straight on LinkedIn. You may also head over to the Ambitious Tribe with a Plan Facebook group and be encouraged by soul-aligned and ambitious humans on the planet. Remember, you can definitely build a better business.